Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. Dan Matthews in for Chuck. We should have him back tomorrow. So that's what you have to look forward to. You know what we do here. Hour two, we give you two guests. All right, that's a given. You got that coming down the road. You got headlines too as well. And in hour one, well, you're going to say, well, Dan, that's in the past. Okay, hey, that's all good. But consider me to be your college football Doc Brown, because I can put you in the DeLorean and I can get you back to the past, because we always post both hours of the show on the app, the Southern Sports Today app. You can go there. You can take it in there, or southernsportstoday.com that way as well. That works. Or also too as well, you say to yourself, hey, Dan, you know what? Yeah, hey, I missed noon to 2 Eastern. I didn't have a chance to hear all of that. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Don't worry about it, because we play the show on a loop all throughout the day leading up until the next live airing of the show coming up the following day. So you got all those things at your disposal. Technology, dude, that's what I got for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I always have for you right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. So all those ways that you can take in the show, we always appreciate it. Of course, Twitch as well. We're not on Twitch today. We'll be back on it probably again tomorrow. But like I said, had a chance to talk with Joe Hamilton. Also had a chance to talk with Josh Kendall in Hour 1 coming up. In about 10 minutes, it's going to be our good buddy Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio. And interesting times going on there in Lexington at the moment. And then we are going to head over to Big 12 country, which how about this? The Big 12 just announcing their schedule for the 2021 season. So we'll dive into that and more right here. You know what we do. Headline time.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
All right, first headline, because it was dropped not too long ago, and that is the Big 12 schedule out for the 2021 season. Now, if you follow the Big 12 on Twitter, at Big 12 Conference, their verified page, you see that they've got the, in their case, the logo schedule, and you got some empty boxes there, and you see only 9 games. Oh, no. Are they going to go conference only again in 2021? No, they got a little asterisk in there, and it says institutions will announce all non-conference games. So, yes, you're going to get non-conference games this year. As a matter of fact, University of Texas opening Labor Day weekend, September the 4th, against Louisiana Lafayette. That's going to be a good one, and wow. I mean, you want to talk about, for Steve Sarkisian, a game that you say, usually, oh, Louisiana Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, ah, okay. But no, now it's, oh, that team, Billy Napier, the full roster coming back. Yeah, that's going to be a spicy one out of the gate for Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns to get his tenure in Austin getting going. But also, too, I mean, other notable non-conference games this year that you're going to see. Oklahoma, as we're going to talk about this and more with Tyler McComas. You get a rematch of the old Big 8. Huge rivalry games that we used to see between Oklahoma and Nebraska. Nebraska, of course, isn't what they used to be, but still, I got to wonder if that's a game that people in Norman still even care about. So the Big 12 dropping their schedule for 2021, and one of the notable games on the schedule, of course, every year in Dallas, Texas OU, the Red River Shootout, or whatever they call it. I guess you can't call it the Shootout now. Remember, they said no, it's not the Shootout. The Red River Rivalry Game, I guess, is what they call it now, and that one's going to come your way October the 9th in Dallas. So that's something to look forward to this season. Other headline, Florida playing at Vanderbilt October the 9th for homecoming. Now they're going to open the season against Willie Taggart in Florida Atlantic, as that's how the season's going to get going. But it's always funny with Florida to bring up homecoming, because I always remember back to that year, I believe it was 2017, if I'm not mistaken, is when they scheduled LSU for homecoming. And I remember Jim McElwain handling it so well, as he handled everything so well in the media, we remember, during his time at Florida. And I remember he was asked that at SEC Media Days, and he got so put off about it. He was just like, look, you know, all this with the homecoming, but let's be honest here. I think Florida was having a little fun at the time, where it was, remember the hurricane game the year before, where, hey, you don't want to come play us at our place. No, hey, they didn't want to do it this way. All of that. And the two programs going back at each other and taking shots at each other on social media. LSU ended up going in there and getting that win a week after losing to Troy in a game that people thought, oh boy, this could be the beginning of the end for Ed Orgeron. And that ended up not being the case. So they're going to get Clark Lee in Vanderbilt coming to the Swamp this year again, October the 9th. Another headline in the state of Georgia, 12-year-old Georgia fan who lost family members in recent tragedy visiting Kirby Smart in the Georgia Bulldogs workout. Very sad story if you haven't had a chance to check this out. Taden Johnson is a 12-year-old from the Athens area, and a house fire claimed the life of his grandmother, mother, and sister. I mean, at such a young age to deal with such loss, I mean, you know, dealing with such loss when you're a grown-up is hard enough, but being 12 years old and not having some of the most important people in your life for the rest of your journey here is something that I couldn't even fathom. And the great thing that has come out of this, if really you can use that to describe this, is that you've had such an outpouring of support from recently the Atlanta Falcons sending him to the Super Bowl. And there was a photo that got out there of Falcons owner Arthur Blank with a really warm hug for him. And also, too, I mean, having the opportunity yesterday, which being from the Athens area, I got to believe he's probably a huge Georgia fan, and having Kirby Smart and Zamir White in the program, bring him out there and make him part of the program, I think is something that's great. And another part that is great is some of you out there, the listeners and people just in general in society, helping out with the GoFundMe page that when I checked before the show had raised over $236,000 to help out Taden in his life. And again, I mean, just heart goes out to him, and hopefully that he just has such a warm and huge support system around him right now, because that's something, again, I couldn't imagine. Reports out there, Ole Miss offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach Jeff Lebby said to be the leading candidate to become the next head coach at Central Florida. He has ties to UCF, as 2018 he was their quarterbacks coach, and in 2019 taking over as offensive coordinator for then Knights head coach Josh Heupel. But he comes in after spending the last year with Ole Miss, signed a two-year extension to stay with Ole Miss in January. But I know that immediately after Josh Heupel took over the job at Tennessee, immediately players were tweeting out their support. And I think, you know, I even saw former players as well, as, you know, Milton was one of them who said Mackenzie Milton was one of them who retweeted it and said, yeah, Jeff Lebby, that needs to be the next guy at Central Florida. So we'll see if indeed that is the case. I know that, you know, Chuck usually brings up what just happened there with the music not going. That's okay. The news doesn't stop, David. It doesn't stop. You have to keep going. Even sometimes, rounding third, you run through the stop sign. And, yeah, sometimes you get tagged out at home. But then sometimes, hey, you're able to get an errant throw and you score. So in that case, I'm going to say we got an errant throw and we scored. So that's good news for us. All right, coming up next, let's talk a little bit of Kentucky football. Not something that necessarily you hear a lot. But, yeah, since this is the Cats, I got to ask a couple of basketball questions. And we're going to do that with Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio, right here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Thursday. It still is Southern Sports Today.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Stan's the king. He's out today. It's me, Dan Matthews, in for him. And let's get right to it. I promised we'd be talking some Kentucky Wildcat football. We're going to do that right now with a man who knows anything and everything there is to know about not only the football program, but all things Kentucky Wildcats. He is Matt Jones, Kentucky Sports Radio. Matt, it's probably got to be pretty weird, but let's face it, 2021 to this point in 2020 were pretty weird. That on February 11th, we're actually asking the question, are people already starting to look to football there?
Yes and no. I mean, they are excited about football, but you know, I the good thing about having an SEC tournament is that you still have a chance to hang on if you and go to the NCAA if you win. I think Kentucky, even though they're 5-13, I think their fans still, some fans, including myself, still feel like if the team really played well, they could make a run in the SEC tournament. So we're not there yet, but we're getting close.
I mean, in, you know, of course, we always advertise. We're college football all year long here on the Chuck Oliver Show. We don't change that. But, of course, when we're talking Kentucky, we got to ask, I mean, what's happening? Like, how is it this bad?
Well, they stink. I mean, that's probably the simplest way. You know, they just haven't been able to find an offense that is consistent. And then, like, against Arkansas, the offense is good, and then they can't stop anybody. So, I mean, they've had every form of bad luck imaginable. They've lost, you know, they are 5-13, but in of the 18 games they've played, they've led in the second half in 14 of the 18. So, and they've won five of them. So when you're 5-9 in games where you lead in the second half, that's bad execution, but also some bad luck.
All right, let's get back to college football because I don't want people getting mad at me here. Will Levis, a great piece of news for Kentucky just over the past week, coming over from Penn State. And we saw a little bit of Joey Gatewood last year, kind of underwhelmed. And then Bo Allen, somebody else that's factoring in as well for that quarterback spot. How much do you believe that there's a chance for Kentucky fans to see Levis from the beginning in 2021?
It's definitely possible. I mean, I genuinely think all three of those guys have a chance. I mean, a lot of times people say that, but that's not true. But I think that is true with this. You, first of all, you have a new offensive coordinator that's going to play a completely different style. And I think Levis was brought in because he's familiar. Liam Cohen has connections with Levis and his family and the high school coach. And I think he brought him in because he's a quarterback he's familiar with. And then you have two guys that have been here. I think if Will Levis was here for spring practice, he might even be the slight favorite, but he won't get here until the fall, and I think that makes a difference. But honestly, I could see any of those three actually being the starter. I think it's wide open, probably the most wide open competition Kentucky's ever had. Levis is probably more of a passer than the other two guys. Well, Bo Allen is a passer too, but Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood both run probably a little more than Levis, and it'll just depend what Liam Cohen wants to do.
I mean, is that kind of the best case scenario for Joey Gatewood last year? Because, I mean, we saw the Georgia game. It didn't go well. But now to get a new set of eyes in that offensive room, in the quarterback room, to kind of say, hey, fresh start, show us what you can do this spring, fall camp, all those different types of things,
people,
you might have a shot.
I think you guys are being too hard. People, especially who saw Joey Gatewood before he went to Auburn and had high expectations, I think you guys are being too hard on him. I mean, look, he had not played football in 2 years. And his first game, the first time he takes snaps, real snaps as a college quarterback, is against Georgia on the road. like, what did you expect? You know, I mean, did you expect him to come out and tear things up in that scenario? I mean, he had not played in 2 years except on gimmick play. So I don't really he didn't play great in that game. But you know what? Honestly, Terry Wilson didn't play great last year when he played. So I think the final page of the Joey Gatewood story is yet to be written. I don't know what it'll be, but I was on a show in Birmingham and the hosts were just going on and on about how bad he looked against Georgia. And I just wanted to say, what quarterback can you imagine that had never started would come in and play against that Georgia defense and be really good? I'm sure those people exist, but there aren't that many.
No, I mean, that's a fair point. And you're exactly right. I mean, I think that a lot of people, Matt, I mean, they kind of look at the quarterback position as almost like a guy on Madden where it's like, well, hey, I can make it work here. Why can't this guy make it work? But there's a lot of failures that come with the position, that's for sure. As Matt Jones joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show, you can find him every day on Kentucky Sports Radio. And Chris Rodriguez Jr. is somebody that I know that Mark Stoops and that staff are really excited to have back this year in what he was able to do last season. I mean, just how huge of a boost is that for this offense?
Well, I mean, I think it's massive. I mean, if you believe some of these scouting services, Pro Football Focus has him as the number one most efficient returning running back in all of college football. So that's pretty big. You know, I mean, if you have that guy at Kentucky, you're happy. I mean, I have to tell you, for the last 5 years, Kentucky has been a team that the defense sort of led the way and the offense you hoped would be good enough to keep up. I think next year Kentucky's offense has a chance to be the best it's been in a long time, which is really saying something considering they're losing a quarterback that started for 2 years and an offensive line that was really good. They're losing three of their starters. But I think they have a lot more weapons. You know, you got Chris Rodriguez, Wandale Robinson, who was the number one overall yards for Nebraska, transfers in. You get some wide receivers that transfer in. Darian Kennard, who's the number one returning left guard in America, he decided to come back. So I think Kentucky's offense has a chance, if they get good quarterback play, to take a huge step up next year. But the question's going to be quarterback, because the three guys we're looking at, none of them have really played.
Yeah, always the position you want to have figured out in order to have the most success on the field. Defensively, though, Jordan Wright, somebody that showed some good things in 2020. I mean, just, you know, how huge is it to have him back? And does this defense run through him?
I don't know if he runs through him. I mean, he played well. That defense, they all, I mean, if you had asked Stoops, the eight guys or so that had a choice to make, he basically got seven of the eight back. The one he didn't get was Jamin Davis, who was probably the best defensive player they had last year. So that was a loss because he could have come back and he didn't. But they got their whole secondary back except for Kelvin Joseph, and I think they're going to be really good. I think the linebackers are – it's a thin position, but they're going to have – the starters are good. The question is, can they get a good set of backups? Question's going to be on the defensive line. Since Josh Allen left, Kentucky has really struggled to get pressure on the quarterback. It's been a huge issue. And the question is, can they do it? And, it remains to be seen. That'll be the question for Kentucky on defense, because I think otherwise they're solid. You know, let me just say, if you get a couple guys on the defensive line to step up, and if one of these quarterbacks pans out, I think Kentucky can be really good next year. Their schedule is about as hard as it could be this year. It's about as easy as it could be next year.
Right.
Their team from the West is LSU, but they get them at home. You know, a lot of teams on their schedule are regrouping. South Carolina, right. Tennessee, you get a Georgia and a Florida team that maybe aren't quite what they've been the last couple of years.
Right, right.
I think Kentucky has a chance to be a real contender in the SEC East if everything goes right.
Matt, appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
All the cool kids here on the Chuck Oliver Show today because, you know, the teacher's away. So, of course, you know, when that happens, then class really has fun. But no, just kidding. Chuck is out, of course, today. It's Dan Matthews in for him. And we've already talked South Carolina. We've talked ACC. We have also talked Kentucky Wildcats. So now let's go over to Big 12 country and talk to a man who covers the Oklahoma Sooners. And he is with Sports Talk 1400 there in Norman. He is Tyler McComas. Tyler, great to talk with you again, buddy. It's funny enough, I don't know if maybe I put this out in the atmosphere, because the first thing I wanted to ask you about today was I saw the non-conference schedule, which we knew about before, and now we've got the conference part of the Big 12 schedule this year, but Nebraska is on the slate this year, September the 18th. Do people actually still care about this game there now, or is it mostly the old fogies now that are like, hey, let me tell you about when Oklahoma and Nebraska used to play each other?
That seriously, like, you just described it to a T, right? Like, if you're 22 years old, you're like, wait, OU and Nebraska used to play every single year Thanksgiving weekend, and used to mean something. Wait, the same Nebraska Cornhuskers? Huh? Who really cares about that? But, yeah, the old guard, I mean, that even remembers, you know, the great matchup they had in 2001 versus 2. People still care about that. But I'm going to guess that it's probably a lot more sentimental from the Nebraska side than it is from the OU side. Because OU still has its biggest rivalry intact, the OU-Texas game. Mm-hmm. It's always been the biggest rivalry. It will continue to be their biggest rivalry. Even that in the Bedlam matchup against Oklahoma State. So OU still has two of its historic rivals intact. Nebraska's had to force their way into a rivalry with Iowa. You know, basically when they got to the Big Ten, it's like, hey, Iowa, you guys want to be rivals? You want to hate each other all of a sudden? Okay, cool. It's like Missouri and Arkansas in the SEC, right? It's like, hey, you guys want to all of a sudden hate each other and call this a rivalry? Great. I think that it means a lot from Nebraska's side, just because OU was always their biggest number one rivalry, and they get to play that series again. But from the OU standpoint of things, you're just kind of like, eh, whatever. But another funny aspect of this, Dan, and I'm 75% serious, 25% joking, Nebraska is coming to Norman next year, and I don't think that that's OU's toughest non-conference game. Huh. I think the road trip at Tulane in week one is going to be a tougher matchup than Nebraska coming to Norman in week three.
Yeah, interesting enough. We'll have to keep an eye out on that. And, you know, it's funny you say that, too, about, like, the rivalries, where it was, remember when all the conference realignment was happening, Tyler? It was, oh, my gosh, tradition, where I think that conference commissioners were like, oh, yeah, well, 21st century, we create tradition. And yeah, in terms of Nebraska and Iowa, I wonder if it's kind of like the rivalry that New Mexico and Colorado supposedly have about, like, hey, our green chilies are better than yours. Is it our corn is better than yours in Iowa and Nebraska? I don't know. Who knows? We're getting off to a completely different tangent that I'm sure our listeners are like, the hell is this? Let's get back to the football on the field. The defense at Oklahoma is one that always seemingly is under question, because that seems like, Tyler, it's what's kept them from not only winning a national championship, but getting out of semifinal weekend in the college football playoff. Is this a championship-level defense in 2021?
Well, yes, it is. The defense next year will be able to win them a championship, but that is assuming that the offense will take the next step and be elite to, you know, close to the level that it was under Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Now, is this OU defense going to be one of the three best defenses in all of college football next year? I wouldn't necessarily count on that, but they've got a lot of good talent coming in. If you've got a Tennessee transfer that they like quite a bit and Key Lawrence, and you've got a whole lot of guys returning with really, really good production. I mean, the funny thing is, at the end of the year, when we were talking about OU's chances to make the college football playoff, could they compete with Alabama? Could they compete with Clemson and Ohio State, Notre Dame? It was really, you know, we feel like the defense could hold its own. really feel good about that. But the offense was lagging behind so much last year compared to years past that it was the offense that gave you doubts this past season more than the defense. I think that their ability to create turnovers and get to the passer, I mean, if you have this defense with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, I think you probably win a national championship in one of those years. They have really solved the issue that has plagued this program now for the better part of a decade. To answer your question, like, yeah, man, whether OU wins a national championship next year, who knows? But I don't think they'll fall short because of the defense.
And, I mean, that's interesting, too, because that seemingly is why Alex Grinch was brought to Norman, was to be able to get them to that point. And as I'm sure you know about our show, Tyler, and by the way, Tyler McComas joining us, Sports Talk 1400 in Norman, talk some Oklahoma Sooners, is we have Chris Landry on every week. And Chris Landry has brought up about Oklahoma. He said, get to where Clemson started at to get to this point in terms of their defense. Because remember, too, Clemson defensively, they were looked at as a real liability. Now it's looked at as a strength for that program. I mean, is Grinch a guy that can kind of get them to that point that, if nothing else, set a foundation of showing defensive recruits out there, hey, you can come here, you can make plays, and you can help be a reason why this team wins the way it does?
I'm not being a homer here. I absolutely think that that's the case. Everyone around here thinks the world of Alex Grinch. I think that his approval rating with OU fans right now is about as high as it could be. Just the job that they were able to do defensively last year when they were shorthanded and not having probably their best defensive player in Ronnie Perkins, and still what they were able to put out. Started off a little bit slow early in the season, but, man, they were playing good defense toward the end of the year. Look, I understand that Florida didn't have its best receivers in the Cotton Bowl. But if you go and watch some of those interceptions that Kyle Trask threw, those were OU DBs making plays on the football. I mean, they got a pick six off Kyle Trask that was legit. They did a great job turning over a Heisman Trophy finalist, and I don't think that was a fluke. I don't think that was a joke. Yeah, I mean, I would predict that this is probably going to be Alex Grinch's last year in Norman. I think that he's going to be that sought after at the end of the season, seeing as the Oklahoma defense was in arguably the worst shape that it's been in 50 years, and now he's got a chance to have a top 10 defense in college football next year. Enjoy it while it lasts, Sooner fans, because I don't think Alex Grinch is here for the long haul. I think somebody's going to hire him away after next season.
Tyler, let's flip over to the offensive side. And I know the beginning of the Spencer Rattler era at quarterback did not get off to the best of starts last year for him. But then at the end of the season, seemingly was somebody who was playing some of the best ball in the country. What changed for him and made him the quarterback that he was towards the end of last season?
They had a running game. They had zero running game when he was struggling early on in the season. They had to drop back a ton. His wide receivers weren't really playing at a high level. I know that Spencer Rattler, you know, caught a lot of flack for how he started it off, but I excused it quite a bit because, look, I mean, he was starting for the first time in college football. He had a very average to below average offensive line. His best running back was suspended for half the year, and he had a core of receivers that was really young and didn't play a whole lot of football. But that's what you step into at Oklahoma, right? It does not matter the situation. You are expected to not only play well, you are expected to play at an elite and a Heisman level, regardless of the situation and regardless of what is around you. The offensive line play improved as the year went along. They got Ramondre Stevenson back, which gave them that running game that they didn't have, and they had other wide receivers emerge as well. Spencer Rattler had 10 dropped touchdowns in the end zone last year. How might his season have been different if you just cut that in half? Mm-hmm. If he only has 5, which, by the way, he had 10, and I think the next closest guy had 5 drops in the end zone. So that just goes to show you that the situation around him wasn't all that great, and I think he caught a whole lot of unwarranted flack. But he is poised to have a massive year this year, and I think in basically every sports book across the country, he'll be the Heisman Trophy favorite going into the season.
Again, Tyler McComas, Sports Talk 1400, joining us here to talk some Oklahoma Sooners. And you actually just led right into my next question there, Tyler, in terms of the running game. I mean, the good news of finding out, I believe I saw where Lincoln Riley expects to have Kennedy Brooks back this year. But then also, too, you mentioned Key Lawrence. The offensive side of the ball has benefited as well from that trek from Knoxville, Tennessee to Norman, Oklahoma. Bama, and Eric Gray is one of those guys. I mean, just you add that in there. I mean, like we were talking about the defense, I mean, the offense has a chance to take a step forward in 2021, as you just alluded to.
Yeah, and don't forget about Wanya Morris, who they wanted him the first time around as a recruit. Weren't able to get him. Now they've got him, and I think he's going to have a really good chance to start at one of those tackle positions on the offensive line. We'll see about Eric Gray. I think he's very similar to TJ Pleasure, who went in the transfer portal a little over a month ago. But, yeah, I really like this offense going into the year, and I think the Tennessee additions are really going to help. Kennedy Brooks has had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He opted out of last season, like you said, but what kind of product is he after taking a year off of football? I don't know. We don't know. That'll arguably be the biggest question going into the 2021 season is they're going to have to be better at running back this season if they finally want to win a college football playoff game, and Kennedy Brooks might be, you know, the biggest question mark heading into the year. If he's elite again like he has been, I think OU's running game will be fine. I think they'll be poised to play in a national championship game. If he's not the same running back, then, boy, even more pressure is going to be put on Spencer Rattler's shoulders to carry this offense throughout the entirety of the season.
One final one for you, and a guy out of the southeastern part of the U.S. in Jaden Hazelwood, who a lot of people were kind of surprised when he left the state of Georgia to go out west and play for Oklahoma. Could this finally be the year that we see him become what people believed that he was going to be?
I think it's a coin toss right now because they are so deep at receiver. They've got two receivers coming into this recruiting class who are going to be freshmen this season who I think have a chance to play right away. So at some point it becomes a numbers game. Marvin Mims, who was a true freshman last year, was their best wide receiver. Then Theo Weiss, who was in that same class as Hazelwood, emerged as the number two wide receiver. Oh, by the way, you have Austin Stogner, probably the best tight end in all of college football, certainly on the short list, if not, who will be back next year. So as a five-star guy, you come in with high expectations that you're going to catch all these footballs throughout your career, and maybe he will. Maybe Hazelwood will come in because he's rumored to be, even though he didn't play a lot last year, still one of the most talented guys that they have on that roster. But this is the year right here. I think if he doesn't produce, he's probably in the transfer portal looking somewhere else to play. Maybe he goes back somewhere close to where he grew up in the Southeast. But as of right now, I would probably say there's just so many guys in front of him. I wouldn't expect Jaden Hazelwood to have some massive breakout season.
Very good. Tyler McComas, Sports Talk 1400 out in Oklahoma, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Tyler, we will not be strangers. We will catch up with you again here very soon. Great stuff today talking Sooners.
You bet. Enjoy it, Dan.
All right. Appreciate it. Tyler McComas again, as you can find him on Twitter at Tyler_McComas, MCComas. That's how you find Tyler. And then also, too, you know, we talk about being on Twitch as well with part of Chris Landry Football and LandryFootball.com. Well, you can find Tyler there as well, as I believe their show is In Defense of the Big 12 is the name of their show. And he does it with Brad Keller out of Austin. So that's somebody that you can find if you want to get some Big 12 talk. That's where you can go and find those guys. And yeah, Oklahoma is a team that's going to be interesting to watch in 2021, because that's the thing that we heard too in that game against Florida in the Cotton Bowl, is that, you know, you heard the commentators and everybody throwing out there, most of this team's coming back. And when you got a team coming back like that, I talked about this as well. Once they won that game over Florida, as people could say, Florida didn't care, they didn't have the roster, all those different types of things. That's fine. They still went on the field. They still needed to play for 60 minutes, and they still won the football game the way that they did. That means something. And it means something when you win a game like that. It makes the offseason workouts a little bit more palatable. They're still terrible, as they should be, but it still helps out in that regard. You still also have that belief of, hey, I know the guy to my left. I know the guy to my right. I think that we can make something happen this year. And when you have the team playing the way that they were at the end of last season, look, people can say that momentum doesn't matter. That's ridiculous. It does matter. because, again, it makes the little things that you have to do in order to be successful that much better. Like I've said on this show, and I'll say again, and I will continue to believe this until the day that I'm no longer speaking into a microphone, is I don't believe that LSU wins the national championship in the 1920 season if they don't win the Fiesta Bowl and play the way that they did and Joe Burrow played. I believe that propelled them. I believe that that gave them confidence where they said, oh, with this Brady guy now and the guys that we have back, we can throw the football. We can do this thing. So Oklahoma is one of those teams that I understand people are going to look at Bama. They're going to look at Clemson, Ohio State, all those schools, rightfully so. Georgia, I mean, just like we've said before, the elite of the elites right now in college football. You better consider Oklahoma in this group because they're going to have a very talented roster coming back, and I think they're going to have every single opportunity to have a chance to be in the Final Four and then maybe finally be able to kick in the door and get that national title opportunity in 2021. So a lot of exciting things on the horizon for the Sooners. All right, coming up next to wrap up the show here on a Thursday, this coach, just when you thought he was out, he pulls you back in. I'll explain right here. It's the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck right here on a Thursday, Southern Sports Today.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Oh my goodness, this is low-hanging fruit. I know a lot of people are going to choose this, but Jahmyr Gibbs, well, he put on film special teams-wise, out of the backfield, catching the ball with his hands, his agility. If he can stay healthy, I look for him to probably be up there ACC Player of the Year.
You got to hear that live in hour one, and that's from former Georgia Tech quarterback Joe Hamilton, who joins us every Thursday on the Chuck Oliver Show for the game plan brought to you by Low T Nation. And, of course, people are going to say, well, Joe, yeah, you know, he's a Georgia Tech guy. Of course he's going to pick the Georgia Tech guy, but I'm on board with what he said because they haven't had a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech probably since, oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, Tashard Choice or somebody like that at Georgia Tech during that time. And that's over 10 years ago. So the fact that Jeff Collins is able to have a player like him on the field last year and you get him back for 2021, maybe the turnaround is a little quicker than some might have thought at Georgia Tech. And when you have players like that, well, that's definitely what you hope for. Dan Matthews again in for Chuck here on a Thursday. Expect Chuck back tomorrow. So regardless or not, you can always hear Chuck, myself, Joe Hamilton, anybody and everybody for the 2 hours daily that is on this program, either live or on the app, Southern Sports Today app. Download that thing. Put it on the phone. Make sure you have us with you every single time. Or then you say to yourself when you click on, you're starting to stream and you say, Dan, oh no, I missed hour one. I missed Josh Kendall talking about South Carolina. Do not fret because David behind the glass, you know what he does every day? He goes to work. He puts the show together. He puts it up on there on the podcast and you can listen to both hours free of charge. We're not charging you for any of this. Does anybody out there know that? Okay. Well, you know what? If you don't, then now you do. I learned you something today. Ed Orgeron is somebody that has done it again, and I'm going to tell you how right here as we close it out with the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Alexander Shinara and his fine group, they get things going over there in the state of Georgia, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi. Well, pretty much anywhere you are driving throughout the Southeast. You see that billboard over there? Chances are, if you're on a southern interstate right now, you're probably seeing Alexander Shinara's face on that billboard. And that is a man who is a great, great partner of the show. Ed Orgeron added again, as yesterday we talked about here on the program, linebacker Mike Jones Jr. out of Clemson deciding that he is going to go play at LSU for the 2021 season, and he's going to be playing there likely beyond as well, as he'll be immediately eligible to play. And then a couple of days ago, you get a huge wide receiver boost in Brian Thomas Jr. deciding that he is going to go play at LSU for the 2021 season and beyond. And with his addition, the 24/7 class rankings bumped the Tigers up to number 3 ahead of Georgia. And it's one of those things, too, that I know that Ed Orgeron is somebody that is low-hanging fruit for some people because, let's be honest here, he's not your normal head coach. He's somebody that does a little bit differently. He doesn't talk like everybody else. He doesn't carry himself like everybody else. And you know what? I'm fine with that. That's all good. Because the guy does what is the most important thing as a head coach, and that's he gets his guys ready. His guys are ready to play on Saturday afternoons. His guys, for the most part, are coached up and ready to play. Now, last season, I get that people are going to come at me and say, Dan, you see that defense last year? Yeah, I get it. There's some missteps along the way. But you know what also is the mark of a coach who knows what he's doing in terms of getting his program in position to win? He rectifies the mistake. He acknowledges it and says, yeah, that didn't work out, and we're going to move on. And that's what he did with Bo Pelini. And he's hired on a new coaching staff. See what DJ Mangus can do this year. And see what the great coaching staff that he was able to bring in, Jake Peets, somebody else. Keep Corey Raymond on staff. You've heard me talk about Corey Raymond a lot for good reason, because that secondary has continued to make that program what it is because of a guy like Corey Raymond. I mean, James Craig up front with that with the offensive line, somebody else that he's been able to keep. And that offensive line, getting all 5 starters back this year, that's going to be a huge boost for them. And a lot of people, me included, thought, oh my gosh, could this be the beginning of the end for Ed Orgeron if indeed he does have another bad season? But with the roster that he's got coming back and the coaches that he's got on this staff, I don't think there's any reason to believe that this LSU team will not get back to what they rightfully should be with the talent that they have there. Because I've said it once and I'll say it again, I will always maintain that talent is never the issue in Baton Rouge. It's do you get these guys ready to play? And give Coach O credit, because when it seems like things are starting to unravel for him, he seemingly finds a way to pause, pivot, and turn it the other way. That's Closing Argument, brought to you by Alexander Shinara and Associates. Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Thursday. Appreciate you all out there listening. Want to thank Josh Kendall, Matt Jones, Joe Hamilton, Tyler McComas, and everybody out there for listening today. David Holloway behind the glass. This is the Chuck Oliver Show. Back at you tomorrow right here, Southern Sports Today.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.